الله من الشيطان الرجيم. We seek the protection of God from Shaytan, who has been expelled from God's kingdom of special mercy. We need to remind ourselves why Shaytan was expelled, because those are the same characteristics whereby he would try to influence us. Number one was his arrogance. He knew what was right, yet he refused to accept. Number two was his defiance. He knew what was wrong, yet he deliberately committed the evil. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We ask for help and guidance from God for three reasons. Number one, we believe He's Allah, the absolute perfect being. And therefore, He's the source of all perfection. No goodness and no guidance can ever occur but that which originates from Him and flows down onto us. And secondly, we turn to Him for help because we believe He is Rahman. His Rahmah, His mercy, His love pervades the universe. Each and every one of us is a living manifestation of His grace, of His mercy, of His love, whereby we come to life, whereby we survive, whereby we thrive. And thirdly, we turn to Him because we believe He is Rahim. His mercy is abundant, it's infinite, it's ever increasing. It's available especially to those amongst us who believe in Him and who accept Him and submit our lives to His will. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. We send our salutations and greetings on the Holy Prophet of Islam, the man whom we believe was the most perfect human being, who managed to reach the highest pinnacle of perfection possible for any human being, for two reasons. Number one, His comprehension of who God is, of what God's perfect qualities and attributes are, of how God is running the universe moment by moment in a specific direction to a specific goal. His understanding of these realities was the maximum possible for any human being. Secondly, this comprehension translated itself into action such that in all dimensions of His life, be it private, be it intellectual, be it emotional, be it His behavior, be it public, be it economic sphere, political sphere, social sphere, in all dimensions of His life, this man was the most humble, the most submissive to the will of God. And similarly, we send our salutations and greetings on His holy progeny, who are the next best in perfection after Him. And especially so, that individual who was enabled the opportunity to display this perfection in submission to the will of God. And that is the third holy Imam, whose event we're here congregated to commemorate. Scholars of Islam and elders in Islam, brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. These congregations and these assemblies to commemorate the event of Karbala have been inspired, have been instructed, and then transmitted it across generations to the followers of the Ahlul Bayt by the very leaders of the Ahlul Bayt. The Imams practiced it themselves, they promoted it and they encouraged it publicly, and they instructed and they promised tremendous rewards. However, we need to appreciate the basic reality that the mere participation and engaging in mourning and weeping and lamentation just as a ritual perhaps will not enable us to achieve the purpose for which this ritual was promulgated and legislated. I was trying to remind ourselves that there is a spiritual dimension. There are certain spiritual goals that can be achieved through the process of mourning and lamentation. No, In addition to that, there are also certain social goals that can be achieved. However, let me concentrate first of all on the spiritual dimension. Just as an introduction, we all know we're living in modern times where one of the major problems and crises that modern man is facing is that of the spiritual crisis. Gallup poll surveys conducted, for example, in the United States, assuming that it is the best example of a modernized state, in the last decade of the 20th century, indicated that despite all the material achievements, more than half of Americans, no, more than 80% of the Americans surveyed said that they experienced a need for spiritual growth. Despite having all the material comforts, they still discovered something was missing in our lives. And this is not something specific to America. And it wasn't something specific to the 20th century, even the 21st century. 2004, the recent elections, that afforded opportunity to statisticians to gather more data. Same reality is confirmed. The spiritual void is still there. It's not specific to America. It's a global problem. Allow me to quote the president of Czechoslovakia, Václav Havel. Is a poet, he's a philosopher, and a president, of course, a politician. He writes in his book, Disturbing the Peace. He says, the present global crisis is directly related to the spiritual condition of the modern civilization. What is the spiritual condition of the modern civilization? He says it is characterized by loss. It is characterized by the loss of metaphysical certainties. People don't believe in higher realities anymore. The spiritual condition of modern civilization is characterized by the loss of the experience of the transcendental, the higher reality. The spiritual condition of the modern civilization, he writes, is characterized by the loss of the superpersonal moral authority. Who will determine whether I should lead a moral life of goodness and avoid evil? Do I believe in an authority who's above me, the individual? The spiritual condition of the modern civilization, he writes, is characterized by the loss of any kind of a higher horizon and purpose and goal in life. He concludes, he offers a prescription. If ever the world is to change for the better, then it must start with a change in the human consciousness and awareness that there is a higher reality to which we must submit to, and there is a higher goal in life than just making money. It means we must discover that we have a deeper sense of responsibility towards the world, a responsibility to something higher than ourselves. We should be fortunate enough to consider ourselves that we have received a cultural tradition inspired by the leaders of the Ahlul Bayt, inspired by the Quran. These rituals have a deeper meaning. Mourning and lamentation is legislated, is encouraged, is emphasized, because one of the goals, not the only goal, one of the goals is a spiritual transformation that we can achieve. You recall that we said that the riwayat of the Ahlul Bayt said that if you participate in mourning and weeping, then one, your sins will be pardoned, even if there are plenty. Two, your sins will be pardoned even if they are prominent, major, serious sins, implying there is a spiritual transformation that's supposed to occur. Three, that there will be protection from the fire of hell and the steps beyond. Allow me to explain how. I'm not saying that this is the only explanation, but I know this much, logically, if ever God legislates a law, and then He promises a reward, because He's all wise, definitely whatever He does has a wisdom. One. Two, whatever that wisdom and purpose is in that legislation, I may be able or not be able to fathom and understand what that purpose and goal and wisdom is in that legislation. Three, whatever that wisdom is, definitely it is something that is good for me, because He's above all needs. Four, because He's all perfect, one, and because He loves perfection, two. Therefore, whatever He legislates necessarily must be something to enable me, if I implement it, to achieve some degree of perfection. Four. Question. What is this perfection that I could try to achieve, or I should try to achieve through the process of mourning and weeping and lamentation? Again, I have got no specific answers, but I know generally speaking, whatever the Ahlul Bayt have asked us to do, because their reality is inseparable from the reality of the Qur'an. إِنِّي تَارِكٌ فِيكُمُ الثَّقَلَيْنِ كِتَابَ اللَّهُ عِتْرَتِي مَا إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِمَا لَن تَضِلُّوا مِن بَعْدِي وَإِنَّهُمَا لَن يَفْتَرِقَا حَتَّى يَرِدَا عَلَيَّ الْحَوْضِ. They will never separate these two realities and these two entities. And therefore never ever will the Ahlul Bayt ask us to do something that will conflict with what the Qur'an says. So allow me to try to understand what could possibly be the deeper goal for engaging in mourning and weeping. And as promised through the process of the reward, what those deeper goals are. If we are told that we would achieve protection from the fire of hell if we cried even a small amount of tear as is the wingspan of a fly, that means my inner soul touched the reality of Karbala 1. I was moved to that expression was through the tear 3. Then the effect is, I'm protected. Why? In Surah Jathiyah, which is chapter 45, towards the end, ayah number 34, there's a description of the qualities and the characteristics of individuals who shall be sent to the fire of hell. Perhaps when we commemorate the event of Karbala, and then we remember the evil characteristics of the criminals who could stoop so low as to commit that crime which this gentleman was trying to remind us in the Marthia. The separation and the beheading of the head of a young infant. Look at the degree and the degradation of the mercilessness to which an individual can stoop so low. In Surah Jathiyah, ayah number 34 onwards, Allah describes, ayah 31 onwards, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. There are those people who are shown the reality, they understand it, but they refuse to accept, and therefore they are kafir. Kafir is not a person who doesn't know the reality, and therefore never had the chance to choose. Kafir is one who deliberately knows the truth and denies it. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. On the day of judgment, you know what is going to happen to them? One. They will be questioned. أَفَلَمْ تَكُنْ آيَاتِي تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ. Is it not true that God out of His mercy sent to you His clear signs and proofs, and you saw it and you understood it? فَاسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ. Yet you defiantly and arrogantly refuse to accept. Did not Hussein alayhi salam on the day of Ashura clarify his unique position and relationship to the Holy Prophet, and yet they refuse to accept? The ayah then says, وَكُنْتُمْ قَوْمًا مُجْرِمِينَ. Not only did you deny the truth when you saw it, number two, you were a people who were given to a lifestyle of disobedience. Deliberate, willful, defiant disobedience. You knew it was wrong, yet you did it. Three, وَإِذَا قِيلَ إِنَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ. Don't you believe in the promise of God that this life is not permanent? There is a life hereafter. وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا. Definitely, inescapably, there is life hereafter. قُلْتُمْ. You know what was your response? مَا نَدْرِي مَا السَّاعَةَ. We don't know what this hour is of life after death. And you also said, إِنَّ ظُنُّ إِلَّا ظَنَّ. I think this is just a figment of imagination. This is just a promise of the pie in the sky which never exists. وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُسْتَيْقِنِينَ. We've got no conviction and assurance that yes, there is life after death. Do you remember what Imam alayhi salam on the day of Ashura addressed them? If you don't believe in God, one, if you don't believe there is accounting, two, at least have the honor, Arab honor, of protecting the prestige of the women. They refuse to accept that there is accountability. Denial, one. Doubt, two. Deliberate disobedience, three. Four. وَبَدَى لَهُمْ سَيِّئَاتُ مَا عَمِلُوا. And when the time comes and the evil consequences show themselves very clearly, وَحَاقَ بِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهَزِئُونَ. Exactly what they ridiculed, the pie in the sky, suddenly turned out to be a reality and they were engulfed. So problem number four with these people is they disrespect, they degrade, they humiliate, they ridicule the realities of the hereafter. Number five, وَقِيلَ الْيَوْمَ نَنْسَاكُمْ كَمَا نَسِيتُمْ لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا. Today you shall be forgotten the same way you forgot this day. Their actions of disobedience, despite knowing the truth, led them to a status whereby they began to neglect. They began to behave as if there is no akhirah. This disregard for the reality of life hereafter. وَمَا أَوَاكُمُ النَّارِ وَمَا لَكُم مِّن نَاصِرِينَ. And therefore your end result and your final abode from which you shall receive no help for salvation and rescue is the fire of hell. Notice the five or six characteristics of those people who shall be relegated to the fire of hell. The corollary of that is anyone who avoids these evil characteristics, one of denial, two of doubt, three of disobedience, four of disrespect, and five of disregard of the hereafter, whoever avoids them is protected from the fire of hell. To me, therefore, it could be possible that if we are promised the reward of lamentation as protection from the fire of hell, through the process of lamentation, when I look at the dastardly, merciless, evil behavior of those criminals, I begin to develop a detestation, a hatred toward that behavior, and I try to distance myself, and therefore get the protection. Furthermore, consider, we're told that if you participate and engage in the process of mourning and lamentation, لَمْ تَبْكِ عَيْنُهُ يَوْمَ تَبْكِ الْعُيُونَ. On the day when other eyes shall be crying, he shall not weep. Why? Why is the sadness here going to translate into gladness there? Again, allow me to offer a possible explanation from what the Quran describes of the possible scenarios of two groups of individuals when they come for accounting. In Surah Qiyamah, chapter 75, ayah number 20 onwards, there's a description. Mankind is refusing to believe there is life after death. Kalla! It's not an imagination. It's not speculation, life after death. It's definite. Kalla. You know the problem why you don't want to believe in the hereafter? بَلْ تُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَ وَتَذَرُونَ الْآخِرَةِ The love of this world blocks you and obstructs you from accepting the reality of life hereafter. On that day, there shall be two groups. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَى رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ There's one group whose faces will be radiant, brilliantly shining, glowing with happiness, with joy. They would be exposed to the highest levels of pleasure imaginable. They would be experiencing the highest level of joy. And if ever you were to try to discover the degree and intensity of pleasure they experience, look at their faces. They're glowing with brilliant radiance. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرًا And they're focused in their devotion and their attention towards their Lord. Nothing else distracts them. Even all the pleasures you give them, they do enjoy them, yes, but never forgetting their Lord, because they know the original source and the provider, the merciful, compassionate, loving, generous, kind Lord. They will be realizing this, they'll be experiencing it, one group. The opposite group. وَوُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَاسِرَةٌ There will be another group of people who will be experiencing profound sadness. They will be gloomy because the doomsday. They will be frowning. They will be unhappy. تَظُنُّ أَن يُفْعَلَ بِهَا فَاقِرَةٌ They are awaiting for the great calamity to befall them which will break their backs. Notice the description that there'll be those who will be happy or they'll be sad is there in the Quran. But it all depends to the degree to which we have recognized the truth. One, we've accepted it. Two, we've committed ourselves to dedicate ourselves to that truth. Three, and then the degree of struggle and sacrifice in that cause of truth. Four, these are the four factors that will determine to what extent our faces will either be sad or glad. And hence, whoever here participates in mourning and lamentation, once he sees the character of Imam Hussein and his companions, and he sees the evil character of those against whom he fought, and then he develops a love for truth, and a dedication for that truth, and a readiness to struggle and to sacrifice in the cause of truth, to that extent, on the day of judgment, his eye will not cry when all others will weep. Yet another level we are taught, and another spiritual transformation we can achieve through the process of mourning. We're told that لَمْ يَمُتْ قَلْبُهُ يَوْمَ تَمُوتُ الْقُلُوبِ When other hearts will be dead, his heart will be alive. Something should be happening to us during this process of lamentation that keeps our spiritual heart vibrant, dynamic, living. Question, what is it that determines the dynamism, the spiritual life of our heart? In Surah A'raf, chapter 7, ayah number 179. Allah offers the description of a group of people whose hearts are dead. وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ There are many a people who shall make the wrong choices and therefore the end result is they will be going to the fire of hell. Question, why? Answer, they've got three characteristics. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا They've got hearts that have lost the capacity to hear and understand the truth. One. Two. وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا And they've got ears which no longer hear. You speak to them, but they don't hear anymore the message of truth. وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبَصِّرُونَ بِهَا And they've got eyes, they're shown the signs of truth, but they fail to see. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ Their example is that like of a cattle, of animals. No, they're worse than animals. بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلَّ The animals never had the capacity to be able to know the truth from falsehood. And therefore, if they never did understand the truth from false, it's not their blame. But the humans had the capacity and deliberately they lost it. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ Truly they are the ones whose hearts are negligent. The description of the death of the heart is described in the Quran yet in other terms. In Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, ayah number 72. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَٰلِكَ There's a group of people who disobeyed their Lord, despite the messages being clear. Allah says the punishment of deliberate disobedience, when you know something is right, and you don't do it, the heart begins the slow process of death. The end result is the heart becomes hardened. فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً And the heart becomes as hard as a stone. No, even more hardened. No, let us not blame the stone. Even stones are good. Look at the three blessings that you can get from the stones. إِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرْ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارِ Have you come across stones from which gush forth and bubble forth and spring forth forcibly water that begin to flow like rivers? But they're full of blessings. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَشَّقَّقْ And there are other stones, alright, they're not as powerful to move aside and allow the gushing forth of spring and rivers. They just split and water still flows. And then there's a third type. Doesn't gush, doesn't split. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ And there are those stones that fall because they tremble and because they're humble in front of the majesty of the Lord. Even stones are better than some hearts that can stoop so low because of their denial of the truth one, because of their deliberate, defiant disobedience two, because therefore then they begin to doubt three, and before therefore then they begin to ridicule and disrespect the godly values four, and then five, they become hardened criminals. The examples of which we see in Karbala. It's unimaginable how can a human being stoop so low as to take captives, the daughters of the family of the Prophet? How do you explain this? The Quran tells us how. When we cry, we are moved. From the bottom of our heart, we start feeling hatred against that behavior. Very good. This hatred needs to now turn inside. I need to now address those parts of my heart that also resemble those characteristics of those evil, hardened criminals. And I need to use that energy, emotional energy, to clean my heart from any inclination toward evil. And then I can begin my journey towards perfection, which is the next part of our discussion, inshallah. Let us pray to Allah to give us the tawfiq to be able to engage in this process of mourning in a more meaningful, effective, and profound manner such that we do achieve the spiritual transformation. As-salamu alayk, ya Aba Abdullah. Our deepest expression of love and loyalty to you, O the supreme example of sacrifice and struggle in the way of God. وَعَلَى الْأَرْوَاحِ الَّتِي حَلَّتْ بِفِنَائِكَ And also on those holy souls who were attached to you and never gave up and never abandoned you. وَعَلَى أَوْلَادِكَ وَأَصْحَابِكَ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ